Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel. He scores! Cortinel's beating
him! Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
I'm going to have to put a sweater on because my heart is going to come flying out for you guys. The stuff I do. Give, give, give. We have a very exciting bonus show for The Suspendables. I spent an hour talking to... little teaser. You ever wonder what it's like being the child of a celebrity? Being the son of a superstar hockey player? That's right, you guessed it. Ty Gretzky, Wayne's oldest boy, comes on and talked to us about a ton of stuff. It wasn't my idea. He kept going. We ended up talking for 60 minutes. Crazy. Great stuff. You're going to love it. An hour with Ty Gretzky.
What's up, Jim? Thanks for having me.
Da, 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 da. That's the wedding song, pal.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I just got married.
Congratulations. You just got married.
Huh? Thank you. We've been on a one-month honeymoon now. It's been good.
I was going to say, why? Why did you get married? No, I'm kidding.
Spent a long time together.
This is like be the longest. You got married, what, a few weeks ago in New York?
Yeah, New York. It was a good time. We got in there. Luckily, we were able to do it before everything went south and got it in and everything. So we were fortunate.
And your honeymoon was in Hawaii.
Yeah,
we went. To and now Hawaii you got a place. Your wife's family has a place in Colorado. Is that where you are now?
Yeah, we came here to quarantine for. We're here for probably next month, just trying to stay active and keep our minds straight through all this.
And it's a great test for a marriage right away. Close quarters.
That's what everyone's saying.
Everyone's saying
if you get through this.
Yeah. This came together at the last minute, and so I always throw it out there when we do the show, The Suspendables, about questions for Russ. So I whipped it out there, Ty. You know, if people have questions, you and I are going to shoot the shit here for a while, and like always, Ty, they've mixed up you and your two brothers. Okay, so I get all these. Okay, so
we all look the same, huh?
Well, I don't know. I don't know what people are thinking. They're like, okay, tell Ty, how was it during his baseball career? I'm going, well, no, that was Trevor.
Right? Yeah, like, I'm coaching the hockey schools in the summer, and everyone's like, so how was baseball last year? I'm like, no, wrong one.
and then the other one I got three in a row about saying, how's he doing in his golf career? I hear he's really good, right?
I was like, that's Tristan.
That's your brother Tristan.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
So how old are you, Ty, now?
29. Obviously known you forever. You've been family.
Yeah, well, I've known you as long as I've known your dad. I knew you from the day you were born. We go way back. Mm-hmm. And so you're the oldest son, second oldest. Paulina, of course, is the oldest. And then there's you, then Trevor, and then Tristan, and then Emma, your young sister. And
she's the best one. It's actually her birthday tomorrow.
16. Oh, happy birthday. Yeah, happy birthday. 16.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Wow, look out. What did you do when you were 16? How'd it go around the house?
Actually, she might be 17. She's turned 17, but she gets her license. So it's, she's a year behind that. So, yeah, she's turning 17 next month or tomorrow.
Emma's fantastic. And we'll talk a little bit about that. Of course, she's an aspiring tennis player, right?
Unbelievable. She's really good. Yeah. Even she's today, really I called them. She's out training.
Yeah, and
by herself, obviously.
Yeah, she works at it hard. So that's Emma and Tristan's. Did he start this year on a golf scholarship
at Pepperdine? Yes, and they actually were number one in the country when they suspended the season and everything. So on top of all the health stuff, everyone was really devastated because they had a really promising team, or they still do actually. They have really some good talent. Jeez.
And he's the real deal. Tristan's the real deal. I played a game of golf with him not too long ago.
Yeah, he can play. The kid's got it.
He can play, and what's he weigh? About 100 pounds, and he hits it a million miles.
He's got the same length as Trevor and Dustin, and hits it as far as that, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean, because I ran to the tee, because I only hit it about 250, I'm probably lying. I probably hit it about 240.
Well, that's why you play up, right?
I do play up now. I do. Yeah, no, I'm up at the whites, man. I'm up at the senior tee.
That's all right.
So before we want to talk about your hockey school for sure, but of course, you know, we want to talk about, you know, your days growing up. No one probably ever asked you this, Ty. What was it like growing up to be Wayne's son? I mean, you must have.
No.
Do you ever get a pat answer for that? Did you have to stop and figure out I'm going to be asked this?
The answer's always been the same, right? Like, understanding that, like, he's always has the best people around him, meeting you, everyone that he hangs out with, all his friends around the hockey world, and then being able to go to the games and the rink and growing up around the rink and going to practice and just going to practice with him and going to the games. And even, like, when he retired, when he was in Phoenix, being able to be there with him, living there, I would go and, like, be a trainer on the bench and help the guys out during the game. It was awesome. Unbelievable experience. I love hockey, as you know. It's my passion. I love everything about it. So being able to do that was just incredible. It's undescribable.
So you're a good hockey player as well, and so you took a run at it.
Okay.
You're good.
Well,
you're
played good. Like just rec league growing up, just for fun, and then at 14, 15, my dad goes, if you want to keep playing hockey, you have to go play competitive hockey. So I went up to Minnesota. I went to boarding school at Shattuck for a year and loved everything about it. Like, was able to play 2 hours a day, tournaments every weekend, just being able to live with your teammates. The coaches are the teachers at school. Everything about the experience was incredible. But I wasn't good enough. I was too far behind. These kids were so good by 15 already, playing all day, every day, their whole life. Just be able to be around hockey, like, it's awesome, and it was an awesome experience. But after that, I started playing golf and played pretty competitively. Played a lot of, like, tournaments, mini tour events, amateur stuff.
Right.
Went to Arizona State, practiced with the team there, had a lot of fun. But then after that, started the hockey school. So was able to get back into hockey, which was a passion of mine always. And it's a lot of fun. So get to be on the ice all summer with the kids and everything.
So at what point, Ty, so when you went away to high school, so that was your dad's advice. You got to play competitive hockey if you want to give this a whirl.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what a mature thing you just said. Well, the guys were better. What was that? When did that day come where you said, okay, this ain't for me?
Maybe even not that much better, but maybe I just didn't have it, right? You know what I mean? Like, you got to have all the assets to be able to make it. Like, these kids are so good nowadays, and just, like, the talent that is, it's indescribable. Living away from home was tough too. It's not the easiest thing. So I wanted to get back to the family. We have a big family, as you know. Mm-hmm. It was good to get back home. I was 15 or 16.
So when you came to that decision, Ty, did you finish high school there in Minnesota at Shattuck?
No. I moved back home to LA, and then that's when my mom suggested picking up golf more seriously and kind of taking that as kind of my hobby. So, like, wouldn't just focus on education and school and everything. I would have something else to focus on, and it was great. I'm glad I did it. I met a lot of people doing it. Mm-hmm. Got pretty good at golf, and now I'm able to play all the time and enjoy it. So it was a lot of fun. And I actually played at Shattuck too in the spring. Like, all the hockey players are suggested to play either, like, lacrosse, tennis, or golf. So it was fun to play golf there with all the hockey guys.
Cool. You got to tell this story, because I know it. When you did check in to your first year and you met your roommate when you went to Shattuck, and because I remember you told me this story, it's hilarious. And of course, your mom was, you know, going to miss you and didn't know what to do. And you were, I think you were out of the room and she got her hands on there, and didn't you come back and it was like decorated from top to bottom?
Oh yeah. She's the best. She, mom of the year. No, I came back and the whole dorm looked like a hotel. She set the whole thing up. It was incredible. But, no, it's fun. You live with your teammates, you live with, in the dorms with every hockey player. It's literally the best experience I could have ever had. It's hockey camp 24/7. So
you must have gotten some trouble though. Come on.
No, well, not me. No.
Shut it. Come on.
I'm a good kid. I followed the rules there. It's the first year away from home too, but all the hockey guys, it's weird. Like everyone, like you travel every weekend playing tournaments and stuff. You're always with your coaches. They have like curfew at 10 o'clock. I don't know. Maybe if I stayed there as I got older, 16, 17, 18, you start getting out and having fun there. But like when you're young there, I feel like everyone just hangs out in the dorms, plays video games and stuff.
I'm just, yeah,
it's
you're
different.
Not. Yeah, you were, so you were a good kid. You were 14, 15 there. Yeah.
I still am.
Yeah, you're still, no. Well, you're okay. Yeah, you're okay. You're a great guy.
Thanks.
So then, anyway, let's talk about this. Then we'll get to, people got some questions. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay. So anyway, you finish high school, you play golf at a really high level, and then there comes a time when that finishes and you got to figure out what you're going to do after all that. Take us through that process, Ty, where I'm guessing in your early 20s, you finished playing golf. Where'd you go to play golf, by the way?
I was at Arizona State. Randy Lyon, the golf coach there, was very nice, took care of me, allowed me to come on practice with the team and everything. I wasn't able to qualify for a tournament the first year I was there with the team. I think they were like top three in the country, some of the best 10 golfers in the world coming to that school to play there. So
sure.
It was kind of crazy, but it was competitive. It was a lot of fun. Everyone was really nice. It was a great experience. But after that, I went back to school for 2 years. And then my dad was saying, like, you should start a hockey school. And we live in Idaho in the summer. There's about 20 hockey players up there now, current and retired players. And they all skate at a rink across the lake. So we started the hockey school there like 5 years ago. We just did 1 week, tried it out, see how it was going and everything. And now we're doing this summer, hopefully, if everything gets better and clears up and everyone's healthy and safe. We plan on doing 11 weeks in 10 cities this summer. So we'll be able to get across like the whole country. It'll be fun. The whole continent.
The States and Canada.
So
what is now a full-time gig, I assume, started out as an idea back then? I mean, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, it was just his idea and to start the whole thing, and who knew where it would become or what it would be. But we started with the 1 week, and now, like I said, we do June 1 until August 28th, and we have like the support of Adidas Hockey and BioSteel Sports, and with their support, we're able to like expand and do all these schools and reach more kids and teach more kids and do more camps, etc. So it's become a lot of fun, and we love doing everything about it. It's incredible. We love everything about it.
You forgot your new latest sponsor, the Suspendables.
The Suspendables, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is the podcast you're on. Come on.
Yeah,
man.
I love it.
This is the one you're on.
I love it.
Good.
But we have fun doing it. And like I said, with like the support we get from these companies, now we're able to expand. And we did like an all-girls school at the All-Star game this year. We invited like 100 or no, it was, I think it was 60 to 70 local youth girl hockey players in St. Louis. And Adidas Hockey was able to help like put that on with us. So it's been fun. We've been teaching hockey, getting back on the ice. And that's obviously my favorite thing to do. So we love doing it.
Yeah, you're just not lending your name to this thing. How did you... because running a hockey school, man, is no easy task with...
absolutely. No, it's like, I mean, yeah, like, obviously, my dad's name, it wouldn't be anywhere what it would be with the Jones Hockey School, but We don't take that for granted. Like, I bring in my uncles, Keith, and you know, Keith and Glenn, sure. and Mark Ciaccio, all these NHL coaches and friends and family that my dad and myself and our family have become friends with over the years in the hockey world and the hockey community. So we really make it like a very special environment and very special experience to kind of make them feel like an NHL player for the week. So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
What was when you started at Ty? There's a whole business side to running these things. What were some of the? I'm assuming. I don't know what you took in college.
I had some help and everything. Obviously, my dad's office is very supportive, and obviously, my dad's very supportive and helpful with the school. It wouldn't be possible right. without him, right? Because if he wasn't involved or committed to it as well, then it wouldn't be able to continue to what it is. So he's the biggest supporter of it, which is awesome.
And Clara, we all love Clara.
Love her. Right? Clara and Clara and my dad, they're the backbones of it. So and yeah. Keith. Keith as well. He's the real he's been doing schools for 30 years, so he's really there to like make sure this is keeps up at its credibility, you know what I mean? He's awesome to have around.
You're selling yourself short. When you started this, you said, I remember talking to you going, no, I want to do this thing and I want to do it full on, not just be on the ice. So you've taken that up yourself.
We don't want to half-ass it for sure. Yeah, we want the kids to have the best experience of their life. That's what the week is. And you helped my dad with the fantasy camp over the years. And obviously I went to that as like a kid and a teenager playing in it and stuff. And I definitely learned a lot from you guys doing that stuff, like how you interact with the campers, the families, uh-huh. everyone, and just kind of putting on that same experience for these kids. So it's been fun.
Yeah. How did you handle time? I imagine it was something you had to deal with right away when kids sign up for this thing saying, okay, when can I meet Wayne?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the first couple of years, obviously, is so much easier. We did 1 week, 2 weeks. He's able to be there, right? But mm-hmm. Like, this is something I love doing and I want to do more of. And we do 11 weeks, 10 cities all across North America. Like, he can't travel with me across the country doing hockey schools. So obviously, he tries his best to be at each school. But with everything going on, and obviously, we have a big family and they're doing a lot of stuff and he's busy working and he does his best to be at each school, but we do acknowledge it before someone signs up. Like we let the family know, that he's not, guaranteed to be there. Right.
Right.
It's more of like a perk if he does get there, and Upper Deck as well has been very, very amazing with us, helping like, signed autograph pictures of my dad if he's not able to be at the school and get something to the kids, you know what I mean? But
I do.
But you know, Don Metz, and he's made videos for me over the years, so I'm able to put those out during lunchtime and throughout the day and kind of teach these kids, most of them born after my dad retired, kind of just watching the NHL highlights and stories from their parents. So it's fun to like hear what these kids ask, and a lot of the kids know a lot of the facts. They read a lot, watch a lot, so it's fun. You teach them and you learn a lot from them too. So
right, so walk us through it, Ty. I want to put my kid, let's say I want to put my kid in this hockey school. There's tons and tons of hockey schools around there. What's it like? Is it a week long? Is it a few days? Tell us how you go start to front with a kid then when he signs up for it.
Absolutely. It's actually been the same ever since we started. It's players are $7.99, goalies are $4.99, and the U.S. schools are in U.S. dollars, Canadian schools are in Canadian dollars. Mm-hmm. And what you do is you come Sunday, you get checked in, you get your whole Adidas hockey, NHL tracks, like jersey, socks, bag, everything for the week. You get all set up, kind of the NHL feel, and then you get to meet the coaches and everything. And we kind of emphasize on that welcoming upbeat environment. So we really try to make everyone feel welcome. And like I said before, like you've seen it at the fantasy camp, same type of thing you guys did. Sure. Over the years. Make everyone feel comfortable and feel like a friend and become friends with everyone. And that's the biggest thing. And we go Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., boys and girls, 7 to 15 years old. We have all skill levels, honestly. Keith mm-hmm. and Mark, and they're so good with the kids, doing schools for so many years. They never go too fast. They go through the steps. They teach the same stuff my grandpa was teaching my dad and Keith and them growing up, and just kind of go through the fundamentals, and they don't leave anyone behind. But still keep it like fun, competitive, and very serious too. Like Keith loves teaching the game of hockey. Yeah, you've seen it before. Serious. He's old school hockey. But the right. kids and the parents, he's the favorite at the end of the week always. They always love him. So, and then Friday we just do a game day, scrimmages, referees, kind of that full ice, gold medal game feel. Mm-hmm. And, the biggest thing is just for the kids to have the most fun ever that week. That's what we push. Like the whole thing is competitive. We have tournaments, we have street hockey tournaments, we have skills competitions on the ice, shootouts. We try to make it the most. I've did hockey schools my whole life. Right. Keith makes it serious and teaches them the fundamentals and obviously the stuff they need to learn and focus on and work on. And we have obviously all of our friends and family in the hockey world to create that community similar to the fantasy camp for sure. Each hockey school.
How many kids do you end up at these camps, Ty?
Yeah, we do three age groups for each school. So 7 to 9, 10 to 12, and 13 to 15. So we try to get each age group. Each camp usually has like a little six-year-old, a couple six-year-olds that right. skate up with cool. the older kids that usually play on the nine-year-old teams back home. So we're easy. We work with everyone. We're not super strict at our school. Our school is we're there to teach and have fun. That's the biggest
right.
thing.
So you've been doing this 5 years. Tell me this. Some of those kids who were, 14 and 15-year-olds 5 years ago, what's some of their stories now? Have some of these kids made it into college, playing college hockey or junior A or something like that?
No, yeah, that's funny you ask. That's crazy. It's funny to see, like, throughout the years what happens and all the kids and hockey players you cross paths with and work with and have able to help coach your hockey school throughout the years. And we only started a few years ago, 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And these kids, I'm sure we're going to be hearing some of their names come up and all that stuff. But it's funny. I remember like in Idaho, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, we had my dad was friends with the Spokane Chiefs GM, and he helped me get a couple of the guys to help coach the kids that week, and Kyler Yamamoto and Keanu, his brother, were out there helping us. And
oh, no way.
Yeah. Like, he's there as a 16-year-old coaching the kids, and now he's playing with the Oilers. It's fun to watch. It just shows how supportive the hockey community is, and they're just kids looking to give back to these kids, same position they were in as hockey players, you know what I mean?
Jesus, man, you're so well-spoken. This is unreal. You should be a politician, man. This is unreal.
Should I move to Canada? Well, that's where I met you, in Ottawa. You always showed us around the Parliament
House
buildings.
The House of Commons.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. When my dad was Speaker, you and your two brothers and me and my kids.
Yeah, maybe I'll learn something from you then. Maybe I'll get into politics.
As a matter of fact, I won $100 off your dad. Or no, it was the other way around. Yeah, he won $100 off me.
That's who I did learn from, though. I learned everything from him, obviously, as you know.
What?
He's the smartest person we know.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And funniest, what sort of advice did he give you, Ty, when you started with these schools? Obviously, you would look to your dad to
Honestly, everything. He anytime I had an issue or a problem or needed help with something.
Yes.
He would be there to help and support me and answer the question or give me the best advice, right?
Sure.
He's always there, and I know he'll always be there. He's, like I said, the biggest supporter of the hockey school. So I trust his opinion, and as well as Keith's as well. They just have the best interest in our family. And that's the biggest thing with the hockey school. So that's kind of our main focus. But what were you saying? Back to that story, the $100.
Yeah, the $100 was, we ran the day before, your dad was in town and we were golfing a lot. And the prime minister was on the golf course when we were there. At that time, it was Jean Chrétien.
In Ottawa.
Was the prime, in Ottawa. And we're playing golf, and Chrétien happens to be out there. The prime minister of Canada was out there playing, and he loved Wayne. And he comes flying over, right? He hears we're on the golf course, and he's got a thick French accent, you know, and he's going, "Hey, Wayne! Fantastic, you're here. You come and play with me." You know, he's got all this security detail and stuff, right? And I'm standing there going, "No problem, Gretz, go play with him." And Wayne goes, "No, sorry, I got my buddy Jimmy I'm playing with," right? And I was going, "Jesus, Wayne, go play with the prime minister." He said, "No, no, F that. I'm going to play with you." And then Kretschek came running at us a half hour later and said, "Okay, Wayne, we'll have some lunch later." And Wayne's like, no, I can't. I'm having lunch. And he kept flicking him. He kept flicking him like 3-4 times in a row. You know, then Kretschek was like, "You're going to fly with me." They were going to do the bid for the Vancouver Olympics in Czechoslovakia. And Wayne said, "No, I'm flying over with other people." And Kretschek was like, "You'll have lunch with me over there." "No, I can't." And booked up that day. And it was just like, I was going out of my mind, Ty.
That's hilarious.
You know, so anyway, Kretschek said, "What are you doing here?" You know, and he said, "Well, I'm here. And Jimmy is going to take us on a tour tomorrow of the Parliament buildings with you and your brothers." And your brother, Tristan wasn't around then.
Me and Trevor. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, you and Trevor.
Yeah.
And Kretschek said, "That's good. You know, that's good. Jimmy's father, good guy." And my dad was a liberal with Kretschek. And then he walked away, you know, and I was saying, "Jesus, Gretz, you know." And your dad said, "I bet you he shows up there tomorrow. He said he was busy, right? But he loved Wayne so much." I said, "No, he's not coming there tomorrow. It's Saturday, you know." Your dad said, "I'll bet you $100 he shows up." I said, "He won't." So anyway, we went in the tour. We're walking around and we're looking at all sorts of stuff. You guys loved it. We went into the... we went into the office of a couple of ministers and stuff. And then we were going in to see what they call the chamber, where all the members of parliament sit. And the kid said, "Hang on, if you could just wait here, Mr. Gretzky, for 1 minute, the prime minister's here. He'd like to say hello." So I lost my $100. That's how that went down.
I remember that though. That was so much fun.
So it's going well then, Ty. That's great. We want to encourage everyone. When's it going to be in Canada? What are the dates?
We're doing a school in Oakville the same week as the Canadian Open.
Right.
And keep in mind, this is all like if everything gets better and everyone's safe and healthy and we're able to be in these kind of crowds again, right? Like I think all these leagues are saying that they're not going to start up again if they can't have 10,000 people in one place, so they don't want to start the league, right? So if it does get better and everything hopefully does continue to get better, or if it does get better, like I said, the first one would be the same week as the Canadian Open in Toronto. It's in Oakville.
And Dusty will be playing, your brother-in-law.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the second school will be July 13th in Edmonton. And then we actually do August 24th in Calgary. So that's actually our second year back in Calgary. We were kind of scared the first year, but it ended up being one of the best weeks of the year. Everyone was awesome. We had like a 50-50 split, Oilers and Calgary Flames fans.
Yeah, good.
So
we
always did our Oiler chants when we could just to get under their skin.
And could there be now that your dad's involved in the Oilers and you and I have sat through a bunch of games over the last couple of years since your dad came on board, could have there been a worse stoppage for this team, Ty, when
awful.
They were going so good?
I know. Eh? It's
they were going so
such
good.
Such a promising team. Like the team is so exciting to watch, and even the couple new pickups on defense and
but
like just I don't know it's I don't, if they stayed healthy we had an unbelievable chance like I said
I
don't, if they start up again hopefully they do in the summer I don't know I heard something about like them trying to get the rinks in July and August or something but who knows right but if they do start up I love our team and
I do too I do too
Mike
I don't
Smith
think they're gonna
that.
I was talking to your dad
you don't think
yesterday
so?
And well, he does. He thinks, you know, if we can get this thing under control, he thinks they'll be playing hockey in July and August.
Yeah.
and finish the year off somehow with a shortened playoff thing, and that they'll start up again in October.
Yeah. So I think everyone's just trying to stay positive right now. And if you like tell yourself in your head, like, we could do this in July and August, we're going to do it. And I don't know. Everything's so negative right now on the news, and everyone's talking negative because no one even knows what's going to happen. Right.
Like, right.
The highest people don't even know what's going to happen. My dad has the answer for everything. He still doesn't know.
Yeah, he does. You're right. But he's right a lot.
Yeah, exactly. What are you doing during this quarantine?
I'm at home, man. I'm twitchy about, you know, I was going to ask you about that.
What are you playing, video games?
No, I watch movies, man. I watch movies. In fact, I'm down. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime and all that. But the pickings are getting a little slim.
You watch Tiger King?
So much.
Huh? You watch Tiger King?
I watched Tiger King the second it came out.
On Netflix?
Is that freaky or what?
Freaky.
That whole scene.
Freaky.
Did you watch it?
Oh, well, that's what everyone's watching right now. Everyone's like, you got to watch it, So what else are you going to do? All right, we'll watch it. And you can't believe it. It's unbelievable.
You just can't believe the shit that went on at that thing.
God.
It's crazy. What else are you watching? Give me some ideas. I love the Netflix. Tell me something else.
Honestly, the thing I've enjoyed the most is just watching like NHL Network here in the States. That's all we get for hockey. They're playing the other night. They played the 83-84, their first cup that they won against the Islanders, the Oilers. I think it was like game five. And they're like, first period starting now, 1984 cup. And I was like, all right, I'll watch this. And I watched from start to finish. And they won the cup that game. And it was incredible to watch. I was like, this is awesome. These guys are good. Paul Coffey taking up the ice. Like, from behind the net, you're like, no one can even touch him. And then I was shocked how good my dad was. I never watched him that much, right? I was too young to know how good, like, and now I'm watching these videos now and the old games from start to finish. It's incredible to see how good they are. To learn the history, like Grant Fuhr getting hurt, and like to be able to like put all your focus on this right now. You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. Well, I was there for it.
Well, you were there for it. Yeah. But like,
so you're born in 91, 90, 91?
90 when he was with the Kings. So I grew up watching the Kings. Like even when I out of college, I went to every Kings game before he worked with the Oilers again. I was all about the Kings. So I, you know what I mean? And there's always hockey on, like, with the players playing now and everything, the current game and stuff. So you never really put your full focus on like these old time games that you could hardly see, like the perfect, you know what I mean? Like the pucks harder to see and stuff. But you're sitting there, you're like, all right, I'll watch this for a couple hours. And it's fun to watch. They're good.
Oh, it's great. Well,
it was physical. Like, they're cross-checking each other in the face. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right.
These guys are nuts.
They're nuts, man.
The goalies were incredible. Like,
I do a daily podcast with Steve, who actually produces this show, and we do one, and he was talking about how good the hockey was back in the 80s, you know? How crazy it was.
So that's what I've enjoyed. I've enjoyed watching those 80s games and actually being able to put your full focus on that, right?
Sure. I was laughing when you just said a couple minutes ago, I was shocked how good my dad was.
He literally had a 3-minute like penalty kill or power play, and then he gets a pass from Paul Coffey and skates past every forward, every defenseman, scores a goal through the goalie's legs. I'm like, you were just out there for 3 minutes. Do you not get tired?
Yeah. He never did. I don't know. Like,
it's crazy. And then we would always be like, oh, okay, yeah, look how good these guys, like, and my mom was always the one to be like, you guys have to see, your dad was the best. Your dad, she always like, she understood how good he was. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. And your mom, your mom's no slouch when it comes to sports knowledge. Right?
She loves hockey. She loves sports. She loves talking hockey. She's one of the guys. She's always golfing with us. She's in our group, as you know. So she's a good golfer. She's the best.
Do you remember New York, Ty, when you went there?
I remember New York the most besides Phoenix, because I was older, right? So New York, Phoenix was the best because I was able to be on the bench with the team, work with Stan in Denver, Wilson, and Jason and all the guys, they were so nice to me. And basically, like, we'd get there at 4 p.m. after school. My dad would pick me up, and I'd skate for an hour, and then I'd be able to sit on the bench or stand on the bench and watch the game and give them towels and water if they needed it. And I was so cool to be around, and I just love hockey. So to be able to hear the game and hear what they were saying and see it firsthand, and I think nothing would compare to, like, just remembering it from Phoenix, because we were a little older, you know. But
sure.
I do remember New York was incredible. Like, every weekend we would go out to Rye Playland with my dad for practice. So we would skate before and after the team, and then we would do the amusement park and the theme cool. park and all that stuff. And it was just endless fun. And then sometimes, like, if I'd get out of school early, I'd go to the game early with my dad, and like, the trainers would take us and go play like, floor hockey during, like, in intermission wow. or before the game, and just made it fun for us. Everything about it was so much fun. I don't know if I paid so much attention to the game, but I loved being around the rink and around everyone and stuff.
But like you say, when you, of course, at the time, you wouldn't know, like, walking into Madison Square Garden, like, the history of it and all that stuff.
Oh, no clue. Yeah.
Right.
You just walking up the hill. I remember one time I had the flu. I was so pissed that I was there. I'm like, and then now that, like, my dad's working with the Oilers again, and like, unfortunately, he brings me around with him and the team and stuff. I think I take it in more now, like, because I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. This is amazing.
Or you look back, like you said, when you sat down and watched the other game.
I think that's what it is. I look back, and I'm even, like, look back on, like, remembering being there as a kid too, like, when we go to New York or back to MSG, or when we go back to Brantford or Edmonton or Toronto, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It must be like your bucket list when people are saying they'd love to do this. And you are humble. You're not a spoiled kid. I know that. And you're a wonderful kid when someone says, okay, have you ever played golf with? Who's the guy you played golf? Yeah, Dustin.
Yeah, Dustin. I
played golf
with Dustin.
Okay, all right. Stanley Cup? Yeah, I've been to a few of those. Yeah, you know, when I was a kid.
That's normal.
You played Augusta too, didn't you?
Never, no. Well, me and my dad didn't. Were invited by Mr. Mann. He's from Scotland, and we were supposed to go in December, and I was at Arizona State that year, and basically asked the professor if I could go play Augusta with my dad and his friend that invited us and with his son, because we played in a father-son tournament with them in Ireland a couple of years back.
Right.
And
I know
the
that
professor,
tournament. Yeah.
I think the professor thought I was kidding, because he didn't take it seriously and ended up saying don't go. So haven't been invited to play back, but it's all right. Never really loved golf as much as I love hockey, so never really cared as much to be around golf as I do hockey. But 2 years ago, Dustin and Paulina called to invite me to the Masters to watch it for the week, and it was the first time I'd ever been, and you walk into the grounds and
isn't that cool?
It's the most incredible feeling in sports. Like, it's amazing. And I walked 18 holes, Thursday through Sunday, every hole Dustin played. And then last year as well, they invited me again. So I was able to go with Sarah, and we watched every hole again, and the greatest experience of my life. Now I understand how great it is and why it's so important to, like, it's so incredible to be able to go, right? I never cared as much before, but after going once, it's like, it's a life changing.
How do you sit through because we're waiting. Dustin's gonna win the Masters here 1 year. He's gonna win this thing.
I thought he was gonna win last year.
Last year, and was it 2 years before that too? I forget
years.
Exactly.
I thought he was going both times.
And
so
he hurt his
close.
Back there.
Yeah,
right? Yeah, yeah.
That was 3 years ago when he had won like three or four in a row, and then he hurt his back because he was the favorite that year. Everyone thought he was going to win. He was playing so good.
I went to watch him because I were you in St. Louis for the PGA?
Yeah, yeah, and with Patty Maroon and Savvy,
yeah, right.
The Oilers trainer.
We all flew in together.
Yeah, we had fun.
I can't watch. I mean, I know Dustin and we know each other, but when I can't watch. I just get too fucking nervous.
That's it's hard to watch. Yeah.
We got some questions.
But he's so good, though. So we're lucky we get to watch him, right?
Like, so good.
Could you imagine? So like, he's so much better than everyone else. So you have a good yeah. you have a good chance.
It must be fun playing with him. Like, I like.
You never play against him, though. That's just dumb.
What's he like in person? Someone's just asking me here. Is he as low key in person as he is? I know some of this, but as he is on the golf course.
Yes, absolutely. He's the most low key, nicest.
Nothing bothers
coolest,
that guy.
Chillest guy. Our brother now. He's the best.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. We got some questions for you. Some of these I'm reading cold, so
that's cool. You do the questions. Is that new?
That's my idea, man. No one's ever done questions when they do. God, no, I'm kidding.
You're smarter than you look.
Anyway, back in my day, you know, your parents have always been busy, and I was staying at your house, mm-hmm. one of the first houses they had on Sherwood, and they had to go out and do something, and your mother was, I could hear her whispering to Wayne going, "You're not letting Jim babysit these children."
I wonder why.
They were nervous. Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, it was crazy days. Okay, someone says, Jennifer Drew, what is the key to staying grounded growing up in a family that has been in the spotlight your whole life? What lessons did your parents impart on you to teach you, to assist you in staying grounded, staying humble?
I think the most important thing is them and the people they surround themselves with, mm-hmm. just as yourself and all their friends. I think they themselves are very grounded, and they've taught us to be that way growing up, and just respecting everyone,
right.
and being polite and treating people the way you would want to be treated. That's, I think, the biggest thing they've taught us. And I think, too, the biggest thing is just the people they surround themselves with, too, like all our friends and family. So, yeah, exactly. Good people. We've been very fortunate.
And you guys are well-mannered. I'll give you that. You're exceptional.
Thanks.
Jeff Brown wants to know, Big Mac or Quarter Pounder?
I know Jeff Brown.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Didn't he post a picture on Instagram yesterday?
I don't know. Why are you asking me this stuff? How would I know?
Can you ask
shit?
Something back or no?
Yeah, I can ask something back, yeah.
That's funny.
Okay.
What do you ask?
He wants the do you like Big Mac or Quarter Pounder?
Oh, Big Mac, for sure. That's my dad's favorite, too. Every game after Phoenix, every game we'd drive home, and I was 16, so I had my license at the time. So I was the driver always, and I loved it because I just got my license, right? So we'd always drive through McDonald's on the way home or before we get to the house after a game and stuff. It was awesome. Big Macs, 10 Big Macs always.
10 Big Macs, there we go.
And you know Tim, we had a couple of people living with us.
Sure, sure. Well, I lived there and they never knew it. That house was so big. They don't know that. I've never told. I was there a month. You and I were hanging out, and then I would just run in and hide. They didn't know I was even living at that house. The Taj Mahal.
I'm sure you did.
Big one.
I'm still sad that we moved out of Phoenix. That place was awesome. Loved everything about it.
Well, you loved it because you got to live there by yourself.
It was home.
Two for one.
Well, and with Trevor. He was playing with the Cubs and three or four of his teammates and one of my buddies from college. We had a good time, and the frat house ended up being enough for everyone. So they ended up getting rid of the house. No one wanted to go back.
No kidding. I don't know that you would know the answer to this. This is pretty specific.
What?
Because you've watched old games. Do you think you're... So... the Kings would have beat Toronto, right? To go to the final?
Oh, absolutely.
Or the semi? Yeah. Do you think your father should have gotten a high sticking penalty in game 6 of the Western final in 1993?
No,
I don't think so.
No, I think that was the right call. I was in Toronto last week with my dad, or not last week, sorry. It was beginning of January, and his coach in New York, Colin Campbell, told my dad to come over to say hi. So we went over to the offices in Toronto, and he showed us the war room and where all the officials make the calls and everything. And it was so cool to see. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. It's really cool what they do there. They have everything on deck. It's pretty
high tech. What do you think? I think they should have more reviews to make the game better. What's your take on the video review stuff?
No, I like the video review stuff because obviously that gets the exact call right. It's similar to tennis with like the lines and the ball. Sure. Now they have the replay. It just gives you the most honest call, right? Like you have the accessibility, might as well do it. And I think that was the thing Colin Campbell that stuck with me the most when he said why they have them, what they do there is because they have, I think, two or three guys, main guys, that make all the calls, and they'd rather have that than 40 referees making different calls each night. So
sure,
it's kind of consistent with that being the war room and everything. And it was cool. It was so cool to see. I was in shock. I was in awe. It was.
It must look
cool.
Like a spaceship in there with all the stuff.
Insane. All the screens. Like so many people helping out, working in there, manning the cameras, the TVs, the technology in there is over my head, obviously. But to be able to like see all the cameras in each stadium live, it was pretty cool.
Wicked.
Yeah.
So we're going to call, you know what? I was looking at the time. We're going to call this an hour with Ty. So we got more time left.
Yeah.
I just figured it out.
You could even come on live with me at one of the hockey schools. You could interview some of the kids, talk to them.
Sure would.
See how they're doing at the school, if they're learning anything from Keith.
And Keith, the drill sergeant. Plus, yeah. I could teach them some things too, Ty.
Yeah, we'll get you out on the ice. Can you skate? Sure.
No, I don't mean skating wise. I just mean life.
Yeah,
life
lessons. I was going to say.
Can I skate? You never did see me skate. I like the wind.
It's funny you say that because the hockey school is, there's a million hockey schools, right? But we don't teach just hockey at the hockey school. Like I grew up with two little brothers and sisters, or three little brothers and sisters. So be able to like teach them and watch my Uncle Keith raise Dylan and Kayla and all my dad and all these guys being around the hockey world, like we try to teach off ice too, you know what I mean, like how to act off the ice as a person too, to treat other people and treat the staff. And
who does that?
We bring in Walter for that. Grandpa teaches all that stuff. So
oh cool.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's
oh,
the
what
guy.
A great experience.
Life lessons by Walter.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it's honestly, you could be a great hockey player, but that's not all that it takes, right? You have to be a all-around hockey player.
What a great feature that Wally, hopefully he can keep it up. I know he's struggling a little bit these days, but hanging in there.
Yeah.
Tell us, Ty, here's a great question. Tell us, Ty, when was the first time you beat your dad at any sport? Golfing, basketball, one-on-one?
No, he's good at basketball. He always jumps in with our friends playing basketball. He's pretty good.
Your dad, Wayne's a good basketball player?
Yeah. When he was playing with the Kings, they played every week. He's really good. And
I didn't know that.
I remember like growing up, Steve Nash would come over. They would. He's good. Yeah. Everyone's tagged me on these videos of him racing like Pele and Bjorn Borg, and he's like beating them by like 20 seconds. I'm like, what? I was like, you're an athlete. But I would say golf. I could beat him in golf.
Yeah, of course, golf. Day. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You probably started whipping his ass pretty early.
Golf for sure, I would say. Absolutely.
What else you got? How does he feel finding out you're... that's terrible.
What?
It's a terrible... It's a joke question.
Rated R questions.
Says, how does he feel... How did he feel finding out that Ty is... that I'm really your father? That's terrible.
that's a joke. You can't take everyone seriously, right?
Yeah, it's a joke. It's a joke. What does he
if
think
If we ever
your
get into politics, right? You can't take everyone seriously.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. What does he think of his dad's acting debut? Do you give him a hard time? Everyone bugs your dad about the acting.
Oh, he hates it. He hates everything about it. Like I remember he said to do one scene or one movie, it's like 12 hours a day to do one shot. But my favorite thing to do is I actually showed my wife, Sarah, the Mighty Ducks movie. So we started Mighty Ducks 1 2 weeks ago, and then we watched all three now. And being able to see him on that was cool. It's fun to watch.
He could take a ribbing. Your dad can take a ribbing.
Yeah, he's okay. I mean, he wasn't bad. He's not an actor. He's no Trevor Gretzky, but...
No, he's no Trevor,
yeah.
By the way. What, does he have another movie coming out shortly?
Oh, yeah.
Let's give Trevor a plug.
Oh, he's killing it. Nope. He's doing the new Saw movie. He's doing Love 40, a tennis movie that they filmed at Arthur Ashe Stadium. He just did... Defending the Blue Line, a little hockey movie. He's just working. He's staying busy.
Holy Jesus, yeah. Yeah. And he did his first break was the movie with Mark Wahlberg. He had a couple of speaking
Mile 22,
lines.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I saw that.
Mark Wahlberg and Ronda Rousey, I think he's gone out for like 10 auditions in the last year, and he's got 9 of them.
He's nailing
it. Unheard of.
Unheard of.
The kid's got it. You either have it or you don't. The kid's got it.
I'll tell you what. I went to 42 auditions and got one.
I think that's how it works usually, but the kid's got
totally
it.
Totally how it
the
works.
Kid's, he's good.
What's your favorite flavor of White Claw? Are you on the White Claw binge like everyone else?
No, I don't drink.
No.
You
drink?
No.
You'll have a drink once in a while?
Once in a while, huh? But no, I don't drink White Claw, no.
No.
I'm not a drinker.
No, I know you're not. What's your drink then? Beer? A little vodka
or
something? Or
maybe
what?
Like a 99 like lager or Gretzky whiskey or...
That a boy. Maybe
a 99 cream or something they just came out with. I don't know.
Good. You're going to be in marketing, pal, your whole life. You're good.
No. But honestly, probably the wine, I would say. That's my favorite.
I picked a bad decade to give up drinking, man. It's too bad. All the great liquor.
No, now it's free. Yeah. You can't drink.
It's free. That's right. What's it like being the brother to one of the sexiest ladies in the world? Oh, okay. I'm reading these cold times.
Okay. She's 16 years old. Don't talk about my little sister like that.
It's Paulina.
Oh,
dude.
Okay. They're talking, good. They're talking about Paulina. That's even weird, though, too. Come on. That's my sister.
It is weird. Yeah. I love Paulina.
I thought we were going to have to report something.
Yeah. No, we're okay.
Okay, good.
Who's JoJo? JoJo wants to know how you're coping with the coronavirus.
Watching these.
We talked about that.
Yeah. These old games are fun to watch. Fuck. They're awesome.
They are good. Actually,
it's exciting, honestly.
How damn hard is it being the son of the great one? Well, I think we've talked about that. That's pretty good.
Well, at least the questions are good.
Yeah, the questions are good. What was your first impression of Jungle Jim? Oh, there we go. I don't know how we met. Your brother, it was either you or your brother when we first hung out when you guys were kids. He wanted me to keep telling him jokes and then he'd go repeat them. He loved it.
That was me and Trevor. I remember. You always had the funniest jokes and stories. That's
and
all
they were
we
appropriate.
Remember.
I can juke and jive. They were kid funny.
The one thing I do remember growing up with you, though, is I think we were like 14 in Ottawa. It was that time we were playing that golf course, and your son came out to say, I think it was Jake. And he was wearing like a knee-high sock and like shorts and long sleeve shirt.
That's
right. And you're like, I let him dress however he wants. If I'm not going to let him be independent and choose what he wants to wear, then he's not going to grow up.
Yeah,
and he wore whatever he wants every day.
Yeah, he wore unmatching socks all the time.
I love it.
Yeah, it was cool. Will they bring, let's see, I think we answered this. Will they bring the Gretzky Hockey School back to Ontario? You just said Oakville.
We're in Oakville this summer.
Yeah, my daughter had a blast.
July 8th.
They had it in Toronto. There you go.
To the 12th.
That's Jeremy.
Same week as the Canadian Open. You can watch Dustin, and then ours is an afternoon school, actually, in Toronto. It's the only school we're doing in the afternoon. So we do it after school since kids stay in school late there. So we do it from 3 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. each day.
Oh, smart.
Yeah. Okay. So if you're still in school in Ontario, you can still make the school, hopefully.
Right. And you don't do it. It's not, it's a day in, day out thing, right? So everyone's
just a day school. Exactly.
Yeah, day school.
8 a.m.
Right.
to 3 p.m. Parents pick up, drop off, more than welcome to stay and watch.
Right. So if a kid travels there, he looks after his own.
Yeah, exactly. We usually have a hotel in each city that like gives a discounted rate that we offer to families, and then a few of the families stay around and watch each day and hang out. And actually, we become friends with, and we stay close with over the years. So it's a lot of fun.
Cool.
We created this kind of one of the fantasy camp campers, Fraser Neek. His two kids come to our school and. He was saying that we created something like the fantasy camp, kind of like a community, a family each summer. So it's fun.
Right.
It's a lot of fun.
Who is Ty's favorite baseball player? They probably think you're Trevor.
Yeah. They probably think I'm Trevor because everyone asked me how my baseball career was.
I know.
But I was named after my dad's favorite baseball player, Ty Cobb. And I'm the only one in my family that didn't play baseball. So it's kind of confusing.
No. That's a little weird. Okay.
A little.
Yeah, that's
really
strange.
You named me after Ty Cobb, and I hated baseball.
Yeah,
that's he was not too happy.
Why would they do that?
He was not too happy.
And your mom, I'll tell you what, your mom doesn't put up with any shit, right? When you guys were involved in sports, she was a grinder.
Oh, I love
right?
it. Yeah, she's yeah.
she was real.
She's
she
the
was,
backbone to everyone in our family, but she's the most competitive. So it's fun to be around. Can you imagine not caring about if you win or lose?
Yeah, no,
or,
she's
like
great.
It's awesome. You can't teach it.
You cannot teach it. You're right. Who's your favorite hockey player right now? Current.
Connor.
Careful here now, right? Connor.
Hands down.
Hands down.
Not even close.
Yeah, not even close.
I have a lot of friends. There's a lot of really good friends, but Connor's my favorite to watch for sure.
Yeah. And you and Pat Maroon became good friends, right, when he played here?
Yeah. We met when my dad was doing the reunion for the greatest team. And unfortunately, he was traded a couple years after. But when I would travel with my dad and the Oilers, he's the best guy, the best teammate. I think he's like the backbone to that team. Like you couldn't ask for a better teammate to have in the locker room. Just being a guy's guy and always mm-hmm. included myself when I would travel with my dad. He didn't have to, but he always would. And I know he's doing that in St. Louis last year and wins a cup, and now he's in Tampa. He's probably doing the same thing. Any team's fortunate
to have
him.
Oh, he got traded to Tampa? I didn't know that.
Yeah, John Cooper signed him in Tampa this year. And like I said, any team's fortunate to have him. Like, he's the greatest guy for a locker room, on the ice, in the playoffs, like the physical, everything about him is he's just a hockey player, old-time hockey.
Yeah, cool.
Love it.
Ty, this was great, man. This was bang on. I'm glad you...
It's over already? What do we do now? We're quarantined.
Yeah, you did another one earlier. You cheated on me. You did a podcast earlier today with someone else.
It's my friend Tom. I just want to talk hockey all day.
You could, huh?
Yeah.
You could talk hockey.
I love it.
Yeah. I know the producer's laughing, Steve, because I did a radio show with him, and I don't know as much. I've been around hockey my whole life, but I don't know that much, like about plays and stuff like that. I'm not very good. So when he hears you say, I could talk hockey all day long, and he's going, well, Jim can't. He's not very good at it.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know how much I know about it, but I love talking hockey.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I know you're right into it. And thanks a lot to you and your sponsors. Who are your sponsors again? Let's give them a plug. Adidas. Who else?
BioSteel is incredible. Honestly, without their support, who knows how many hockey schools you could do each year and how many kids you could coach. You know what I mean? So with Adidas Hockey and BioSteel and everyone there, it's been incredible. It's been a lot of fun. We've been able to meet a lot of people and continue to grow and do more schools. And we even have schools in China. I know it sounds crazy, but we did a couple camps last year, and we have some for the next few years coming up. So just growing and going international and teaching everyone hockey, just loving the game and sharing our passion. That's the
Let's get one
thing.
In Scotland or something where we can play golf and shit.
Cork, Ireland. We could play play some golf and then teach some hockey. I was looking to see if there was a rink in Maui, actually. That's funny you say that.
Is there? Is there what?
I don't know. We should check. And maybe Sydney, too? Australia?
Build one. Get your dad. Build a rink in Maui. We all want to go. I'll go.
It's
go on the ice with the kids.
It's not baseball. Hockey's a little tougher.
I'll get pucks out of the corner.
Yeah.
Hey, Ty, tell me this. We got a bunch of listeners to this show from my hometown in Sudbury.
Awesome.
What if someone wanted to bring that your hockey school to their town?
Yeah, we're open to growing and trying new cities each summer. Like, honestly, this summer we have three or four new cities. Chicago, just like places we haven't been to. And we're always open to trying new cities and growing and adding to our weeks. And you could honestly just email me at our hockey school email, which is info@GretzkyHockeyschool.com. Or you could go.
Hang on now. Go
info@GretzkyHockeyschool.com.
Gretzky Hockey School. How'd you come up with that name?
Or you could check out our website too, which is GretzkyHockeyschool.ca in Canada. And I said right now we'd do three schools in Canada, and
Would you do another one?
Absolutely. I get to spend three weeks right now in Canada all summer, and I absolutely love it and wish I could live there full time. So more
really?
Camps. Yeah, I love it. More camps there. Hey, maybe I'll run for politics one day.
Prime Minister.
Yeah.
You will one day. You should.
Get in politics. Who knows?
You should, man.
Who knows?
You should.
We'll see.
Ty, this was great, man. I really appreciate it. It's our first interview, yeah. And we'll have this thing up.
Maybe we'll talk to you when we were doing the hockey schools this summer, and everyone's more positive and healthy and safe, and everyone has a good attitude, and hopefully everything's getting better, right? So
absolutely,
and
yeah, absolutely.
Maybe you could mic up some of the kids on the ice and interview them and stuff and all that stuff.
That'd be
a lot of fun.
That'd be fantastic. All right, go look after your wife. Okay.
Yeah, I gotta do that.
What'd you get her for a gift? Did you besides the ring? I mean, you got a ring.
I got her a ring. And
does she like gifts? Is she into the gifts?
I think she was happy to get married. I think she's happy.
It's you.
Yeah.
You were the gift. There you go.
Maybe we could have some kids soon, and then they come to the hockey school, and then we could just grow as a family.
Third generation grandkid.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, Ty, carry on, man. Look after yourself, and we'll be in touch again. And for sure, we'll follow you and follow your deal with the hockey schools.
Thanks, Jim.
See you, Ty. Take care, brother. Bye-bye.